On being thankful. Well, Judy did it again with the hallelujah, because that's really the subject that I want to talk about is hallelujah. Thanksgiving is one of those really wonderful occasions when we give thanks and we don't care very much about the theology. We just have these moments where we say hallelujah for it all. And for me, it's one of the really great holidays and for me a holy day. Thanksgiving, there's such wisdom in its timing. And there's wisdom in the timing of almost all of our religions and our religious occasions. We celebrate Christmas, the story of a birth, right at the beginning of the dark of winter. How difficult it would be to celebrate death in winter, because that would be just kind of depressing. And we celebrate that death in the Christian calendar in the springtime, when the world comes back to life, and we can take some solace in the life cycle of our hearts playing off against the seasons of the sun. At Thanksgiving, we know that the winter is ahead of us. We know that the leaves, even this year in Southern California, turned gold and brown, and then the leaves fall to the earth and nourish the rebirth of the earth and of life in the springtime. They are a part of a life cycle. We are a part of a life cycle, not apart from the life cycle. Birth, growth, deterioration, death are all a part of our lives. And Thanksgiving gives thanks that we are a part of this. It celebrates the seasons as we understand, in the words of Rick Mastin's song that we sing at dedications, that without the dark there is no light. If nothing's wrong, then nothing's right. And life can be a dance that we dance in a circle through all of the seasons of our hearts, all of the seasons of the sun, and all of the seasons of generations. One of the things that I'm acutely aware of as a member and observer of my own generation is that there are different expectations that we have for different parts and different times in our lives, that our lives have a predictable cycle to them, and we can follow those cycles, but sometimes by an act of will, we can break them and change them. What do I mean? When we are young, we are expected to be idealistic, filled with all of the possibilities of bending the world to our will, of fixing it, of establishing a better order of things, more justice, more love, more compassion, less hatred, less war, less killing, and we involve ourselves in that with the idealism of youth, with a considerable amount of arrogance sometimes, but that's okay. That's also age-specific when we engage the world with this sense that it will bend to our will and we will get the job done. Then something happens. We get jobs. We get mortgages. The word mortgage is not accidental. It means death pledge, mortgage. And it means that we make commitments in life beyond our life. This often is not marriage, but is mortgage. And it tends to kind of settle the mind, like the prospect of being hanged in the morning. And we tend to start becoming a little more pragmatic as we engage life and start to make some compromises with that youthful idealism, and sometimes we just get lost in the rat race and become the rats. But we don't have to. There are also expectations of seniors, and many of you have already broken those expectations. Could I have your newspaper article? And many of you have broken those expectations, and you almost never hear me plugging the Orange County, what is this thing called, Register. But there's a very nice article on hawks and doves and shared nests about a Unitarian Universalist congregation and people who are not 18 years old engaging the world to make peace and change and human progress. My generation engaged the world, and we wanted to bring an end to a war. I think we helped. We wanted to change racism in this land, and we definitely made a difference. We wanted to make the world aware that nature would not sustain itself against a violent attack by human beings, that we had to work with nature, not against nature, and we have made some difference. I am aware that there is a counter-revolution going on, and there is always a counter-revolution against every kind of progress, and that can frighten us into running from it or engage us into approaching and being recommitted and re-involved. One of the dangers as my generation enters its seniorness, I'm not going to say senility, although it's the same root as senator, by the way, but that's another story. Truly. I'm not going to do a whole thing on etymology today, but senator and senile are related. But as we enter into towards retirement and post-retirement, my generation, there is some tendency to become cynical and weary and disengaged. What were our efforts worth? What did we truly accomplish when we engaged those issues in the 1960s if there's a counter-revolution going on? What difference did it make? And there's this tendency to become cynical, to just say, you know something, the world is not amenable to our will and to our efforts, and it doesn't make any difference, and it's all going to hell, and everything today is worse than it was when we were young, and it's more complicated and more complex, and this experiment called humanity is doomed. And besides, the young people have no respect for their elders, and their music really sucks. Well, that's not my view. Well, about the music it is, but the rest of it is, the rest of it, actually not even about the music, but the rest of it is not my view at all. It is a challenge to be re-engaged in the world and with the world. All of the efforts made a difference, but the world doesn't stay fixed. It has to be re-engaged against counter-revolutions all of the time. Against our own weariness and cynicism all of the time. Just because we can't fix it all permanently, which in my view would be a curse, doesn't mean that we don't engage it with passion and ferocious love. I think that's one of the real lessons of life. That we don't have to follow a natural life cycle as it is expected of us, but can, by act of will, stay engaged with the world and living out our values and taking steps towards a better day. I was watching George Carlin being interviewed. He's, although a comedian, I think he has something important to say. I would think that. And I think he's one of the great chroniclers of my generation. And he kind of took the doom and gloom approach. He kind of said, well, I like my own life, but, you know, humanity just doesn't seem to have been a really good idea. Everything's getting so much more difficult, and I don't see a way out. And, you know, the world is just a freak show, and Americans have front row seats, and I do the play-by-play. We are the freaks in a good way. We are the freaks of nature. Out of all of the universe, most of the matter seems to be dark matter and invisible to us, but of everything that we know and see, and we are still open to knowing and seeing more, we are that matter that can say hallelujah. We are that matter that for a moment lives, and I'm going to be hierarchical here, please forgive me, we are higher than the algae. We think, we have the ability to take responsibility for our decisions and for our actions and to believe and to see that our lives make a difference to each other and to our world. And what an extraordinary and precious gift that is. This world is so rich and remarkable, and our lives so obviously miraculous, and you don't need a theology behind a sense of the miraculous. Einstein had a wonderful phrase. He said that he was a very religious non-believer. And I understand that completely. Hallelujah. The root of hallelujah is hal, which means praise. It is, and it's the word that's at the root of halal in Arabic when you pass a halal a butcher shop. The word is praise in all of the Semitic languages. And it is praise for this precious miracle, for all of the joy, all of the possibilities, and all of the pain. And this is a season at this Thanksgiving where some people are having difficulty in giving thanks because there is a sense of sadness, which is not simply seasonal affective disorder because we're entering into a winter even in Southern California. There are a few people who might be depressed about election results. There are people who have a sense of our vulnerability as we fear terror, which is terror itself. And so Thanksgiving for some becomes problematic. But all of it, all of the joys and all of the sorrows, all of the blessings and all of the curses are a part of this miracle of life that we get to see and engage for a brief time. And it is not simply a question of saying, oh, like Candide, it's the best of all possible worlds. It's a broken world that needs us. And it needs us badly to care about it and to love it. For me, this has been a season of great change and loss in this year. And I can't help but look at the leaves turning colors and feel the people who have dropped out of my life during the course of the last year. And I give thanks for that too. I give thanks that in the full cycle and spectrum of life, there are people whom we meet, whom we know, whom we love, who are so precious and so important that when they are removed from life, there is a hole left in our hearts, and that reminds us of the importance that we have to each other. It reminds us of the beauty that is in the transience of life. If we lived forever, if there were no loss, where would the gains be? There are always blessings and curses. Blessings within loss and curses within celebrations. pessimism is much too easy and is much too lazy. When, in the early days of the ecology movement, people said, you know, America is terrible because we've got all the copper wire and the third world will never have telephones. We didn't foresee the cell phone. Blessing or curse, we didn't foresee the cell phone. We didn't foresee the agricultural changes that would change starving, famine-ridden India into a gross exporter of grain. We didn't see the AIDS crisis. We didn't see modern medicine that has brought some of us, including me, to this day, who would not have been here 20 years ago with the state of medicine where it was. We can still curse our healthcare system, but we should also know the blessings as well as the curses. And so on Thanksgiving, I give thanks for it all. I give thanks for the lives that have touched me. I give thanks for those lives that have left me bereft for a time. I give thanks for a world of unspeakable beauty and a world with enough ugliness that it calls upon us to be a part of a solution that doesn't stay fixed, that calls upon us year after year, generation after generation, to re-engage the world with passion, with humility, and with thanks for this moment of life that we share together. Praise be.